Funding for anything you ever wanted to know comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education.
From KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, it's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. Email address anything@kera.org. You can tweet me at Jeff Whittington on the Twitter as well. It's Friday, the 6th of January, New Year, another show. We'd love to hear from you. 800-933-5372. Starting us off today, we got some really good questions. Clive wants to know, how do I get rid of skunk smell, and is there a skunk repellent out there? He emailed us at anything@kera.org, as did Gary from Arlington, who says, I was recently driving south on U.S. Highway 75 through Allen Central Expressway and noticed the closed HOV lane looking fairly abandoned altogether. He says the amount of trash and debris along the lane leads me to believe it's been closed for a long time, and there was no evidence of it opening anytime soon. Gary adds, given the high volume of traffic through there, it frustrates me to see a viable car lane going unused, and was hoping one of your listeners can shed light on its fate. Will it reopen? Will it open as a regular lane or not? 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington. Let's see. Got a tweet from the Morrow family who says, we moved to DFW from St. Louis in 1981, and we've never been able to find the authentic Italian sausage known as salsiccia. I think that's how it's pronounced. S-A-L-S-C-I-S-S-A. Salsiccia. I retweeted that. Let's see. We got a question last week about baking, and we got some recommendations for America's Test Kitchen. We had a question last week about I'll leave those for the answers tag. One more question from the email, and we'll go to the phones. Jay in Hearst writes, it seems that fruits and vegetables use the word peel and skin interchangeably. I guess we use, what he means is we use the words peel and skin interchangeably to describe the covering of fruits and vegetables. He says, but which one is correct? Adding to the confusion, he says, they sell a potato peeler, yet at the restaurant you can order potato skins. So what is it? Is it, you know, I have a feeling that it might be peels when you throw it away. This is like the whole thing, like what's a weed, right? A weed is anything you don't want, is growing where you don't want it. I'm going to just venture, I'm going to go out on a limb here this early in the show and venture that a peel is something you discard and a skin is something that you eat. Although I guess you eat orange peel, like candied orange peels. So I've already disproven my suggestion. 800-933-5372. Give us a call or email us anything@kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington. Let's start on the phones today with James in Mesquite. Hello, James.
Yes. Hello.
Hey there.
I've got a question about Chevrolet using paint for 40 years that peels in large chunks. And in a global economy, this just doesn't make sense.
So your question is, I'm assuming, why do they use paint that ends up peeling?
Correct.
Okay. Well, we'll see if somebody has an answer for you.
Thank you.
All right. Line open, 800-933-5372. Let's talk to Maggie in Fort Worth. Hello, Maggie.
Hello.
Hey,
Happy
there.
New Year.
Same to you.
Skunks. We specialized in those over the years. I have three dogs, and the things that don't work are the things that try to wash it off or mask it, tomatoes, tomato juice, or the soap, baking soda thing. Doesn't work. The skunk discharge is a protein, and you need an enzyme to break it down. And I use the skunk odor remover from Nature's Miracle. There are others out there, but it's the enzyme that you need. I don't wash the dog. I put it in a bottle, and I spray it on the face and the chest because skunks can aim, and
that's
what they hit.
Yep.
I don't even end up washing the dogs at this point. It works. You let it dry. If you need to put on a little more, you spray it on and let it dry. You can also use that same spray approach like I had to when they let a skunk loose in the garage. I had to kind of spritz that whole part of the room several times.
All right. Well, Maggie, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. Let's see. We had the question last week about renting space for a dinner party because our listener's apartment didn't have a party room, or apartment complex didn't have a room like that. And let's see. ME says, check your local senior center. They often rent rooms even if you aren't a senior, says ME. We also got an answer on this from Kim. It says Southside on Lamar and the Cedars in downtown Dallas has event space. Kim also said in answer to the question about where to go to experience to have the experience of eating a meal in total darkness. We had a listener call in about that. And Kim says there's a place called theblindcafe.com that has a Dallas location. So there is that lead. I retweeted all these tweets, by the way, so you can find them on my feed at Jeff Whittington on the Twitter. Let's talk next at 800-933-5372 to Steve in Dallas. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Jeff. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Hey, listen, I have a question. Recently inherited a number of old U.S. silver coins. And I don't know, I'm not educated at all about coin value, and I'm looking for a place in the Dallas DFW area that I can go to that is trustworthy and reputable that I can go to get some counsel about perhaps cashing them in or just finding out the value.
Great. We'll see if we get a suggestion for you, Steve.
Thanks, Jeff.
You bet. Thank you. Steven tweeted and had the question, how much power is generated by the International Space Station solar panels. Anybody know how many, I guess, you know, what the wattage, the, well, however you measure it, give us a call, 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Gene emailed us and said, this past spring, some already established milkweed came up in a bed in the front yard of the home we'd purchased. Not knowing what it was at first, we let it grow. It grew quite tall, and we found several monarch caterpillars on it later in the year. But it also spread a bit, both in our yard and to some neighbors. Is there a way to manage the milkweed to provide a healthy butterfly habitat, but also minimize any upset it may cause with neighbors who would find it a nuisance? I don't know if there's a way to do it other than just pulling up the milkweed where you don't want it to grow. However, planting milkweed has become like something that, well, it's highly recommended to help monarch butterflies because as development continues to happen in the migratory, you know, the migratory zones of monarchs, which migrate over multiple generations from Mexico all the way up into the northern United States and then back down, multiple generation migrations of monarchs. But as the development continues to happen in the country, places where milkweed grows naturally are being, you know, paved over. It's a problem for native bee populations as well. So, although I don't think they like the milkweed, they just like wildflowers. So, but we'll see if we get some suggestions for you. We got an email from Alan who says, last week I rented a car at a Southeast airport, and the itemized receipt shows an amount for a, quote, concession recoup fee. He says this fee is 11.11% of some combination of the receipt charges. However, no combination of charges matches the concession recoup fee amount shown on the receipt. Can anyone tell me how this concession recoup fee is calculated? 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's see. Let's go next to Marshall calling from Carrollton. Hello, Marshall.
Hey.
Hey there.
So I have a question. A coworker told me this morning that today is National Bean Day, and because of it, Taco Bueno is doing a special on bean burritos.
Oh.
I was wondering if there were any other places in the Metroplex that were, you know, capitalizing on today with specials on bean meals.
Well, we'll see if somebody knows.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Let's see. Up next, let's talk to, is it Jillian in Fort Worth?
Gillian.
Gillian. Well, Gillian, welcome to the
show.
How
are you?
Doing well.
question, and it came from my daughter. Her name is Rachel. So she asked me the other day, why do we mop with a mop, rake with a rake, but sweep with a broom? Should we not be brooming with a broom? Does anyone know the answer to that question?
Or sweeping with a sweep?
Sweeping with a sweep, yeah.
Although a chimney sweep is someone who sweeps chimneys, so you know,
right.
A sweep is a noun as well. I always thought that in this category, you record a record.
Right.
Is one of my favorites. And there are a few other ones too that the noun for making the thing or doing the action that you're doing is the same as the verb. But I don't know about sweeping with a broom. We'll see if somebody will have an answer on this.
I'm sure they will. Thank you very much.
Thanks
for
calling.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Line open 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. Let's see. We got a tweet. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Let's see. From Jeff, who says, on that sausage question, try Jimmy's Food Store at Bryan and Fitzhugh in Dallas. So great suggestion, Jeff. Appreciate that. In the email inbox, this is from Kelly, who asked earlier in the week, does anyone know of a business or organization that will repurpose or recycle old trophies and plaques? And Kelly says, I'll happily, I think Kelly said I would deliver. Yep, I would deliver to that business. James wants to know where he and his wife can have some digital photos from his wedding printed on a canvas. He says, we've downloaded these to our phones, but would like to have some to hang on the walls. Anybody know where to get digital photos printed on a canvas? We had a question last week about fixing up, enlarging an old photograph. And someone said it used to be Thomas Reprographics, but now they have a new name, Thomas Print something or other. Somebody will remind me of that. That would be great. I remember them mentioning in their message that they also will print on canvas. And Roy in Fort Worth said, the new expansion at the Kimball Art Museum in Fort Worth, which is called the Piano Pavilion, got me thinking. He says, you know, piano is a keyboard, and this one is named after Renzo Piano, the architect who designed the space. And he says, it got me thinking, was the keyboard instrument named the piano named after a person or vice versa? And if not, where did the name piano come from? Well, I believe the original name is forte piano. And forte is the word, it's Italian, right? For loud, right? And piano is the Italian word for soft or quiet. And I believe the original name of the instrument, and Shelley Canavy, who knows these things, our technical director, is nodding her head. The original name forte piano would, I guess, translate to loud and quiet. That was the name of the instrument. So maybe it just got shortened, and we'll see if somebody can concur with that. Give us a call, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org. That's what Steph did from Saxe, wanting to know why the U.S. is reluctant to change to the metric system. Steph says, it's just so logical, and I cannot wrap my mind around why we haven't. Are there any local organizations I can contact to help push for metric conversion? Give us a call, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org. Tweet me at Jeff Whittington, but stay with us. More of your questions and answers coming up in about 2 minutes.
Funding for anything you ever wanted to know comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education. Fall registration is now open with courses in art, architecture, history, and languages, as well as professional certificates and test preparation. Registration at smu.edu/CAPE.
It's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, Texas. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. You can email us your questions and answers, anything at kera.org. Of course, you can send me a tweet. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Joining me in the studio right now is our associate producer, Samantha Guzman. And Sam, we got a lot of calls last week about bagels.
Yeah, we had a question from Robert in East Dallas that sparked a lot of calls.
Just moved here recently from New York City, and was just wondering if there's anybody might be able to recommend a bagel place that's kind of comparable to what I'm used to in New York City.
So Robert just recently moved from New York City, mm-hmm. and so he wanted to find New York City bagels. And of course, we had a lot of suggestions, but we obviously got into the question of what makes a New York City bagel so different from bagels all across the country.
Yeah.
And a lot of people weighed in on that.
A real bagel is boiled and then baked. They do boil them and then bake them.
They do it the old-fashioned way. They boil them and then bake them.
So they boil them and then bake them?
Right. I mean, we all thought that bagels get boiled and then they get baked, right? I mean,
if
we talked about this after the show.
Exactly. If a bagel isn't boiled, then it's just a piece of bread. I mean, it's the thing that makes it different,
so
right?
You looked into this.
Yeah. I called up a local Einstein's here in town, and I talked to Janelle. She's the assistant manager there, and I asked her how they make their bagels.
When they're baked, they go through a steaming process before the actual heat hits them. So they're steamed for about 30 seconds, and there's no heat being, admitted to them for the 30 seconds. And then after the 30 seconds, after they've received the steam, they'll receive the heat from the oven. It's 500 degrees, and we'll bake them for about 8 to 10 minutes after that.
So Einstein's doesn't boil their bagels. They use steam. I mean, what makes a New York bagel a bagel?
And that's what I wanted to know. I was shocked that they didn't boil them first. They use a steaming process that simulates the boiling in the oven, and then it bakes off. So I called up some bagel places in New York, and I finally got a hold of David, who owns David's Bagels in New York, and asked him how he makes his bagels.
You sound honorable, so I'll tell you.
He took me through the process. He mixes the dough.
Bagel dough is very dense, almost like cement. So they get mixed in a mixer.
He proofs the dough. He ages the dough for a couple of days.
And the bagels have to kind of age for a day or two in the walk-in box, kind of like wine.
And then
we use a convection oven. It's steam injected.
He sticks them in the oven and uses the steam technique.
Wait a minute. He doesn't. This is a New York bagel shop.
Yes.
They don't boil their bagels?
No. And he says there are plenty of other bagel shops all over New York that don't boil their bagels.
So what does he think makes a New York bagel a New York bagel?
Well, he says that it's the water.
People tell him they try making bagels in Florida and they're terrible. Certain parts of the country because of the water.
And you talked a little bit about this last week on the show too.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. You were right. He says that it's the water. New York is known for having soft water, which means it's low in calcium and magnesium. And so people drink it straight from the tap. They think it's delicious. It's why people say New York has delicious pizza, bagels.
And has really good water. So how do bagels go from being boiled to steamed?
Well, obviously, there's lots of stories on the history of the bagel. But according to food historian Andrew F. Smith, bagels originated in Poland, and they tend to be made by Jewish bakers. And according to Jewish rituals, bread was a very sacred item. So you had to wash your hands and bless the bread before you ate it. Well, bagels being boiled before they were baked put them in a separate category, and they weren't considered bread. So Jewish people were able to eat this type of bread without having to go through all of the usual religious rituals.
Wow, that's really interesting. And we talked about this after the show last week, and we started thinking that maybe the New York bagel experience has something to do with just eating a bagel in New York. What do you think about that?
I think it probably has something to do with it. I mean, chances are most bagels, you can find bagels in supermarkets. You can find bagels at any, local breakfast place. Chances are your bagel is going to be steamed, right? They're made that way because it's a quicker process. It's more convenient. So if all the ingredients are the same, and they don't do the boiling process, then it has to be the experience. You're standing in New York City, you're walking down the streets, you're feeling all of the nostalgia of being in this historic place, and you've got a bagel in your hand, and that's why it tastes better.
Samantha Guzman with the definitive answer. Sam, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jeff.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Let's go back to the phones and talk next to, wow, probably this early in the show, the patient caller award winner of the week is John in Dallas. Hey, John.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Doing well.
Good. I'm calling in about the question of skin versus peel.
Okay.
And the first thing I'm going to do is just give everybody a little fact. And that fact is this. In French, what we call a banana peel is called a banana skin. Peau de banane, they say. And the thing to remember about these, which is correct, this or that questions that come up all the time in language, mm-hmm. is that whichever you hear that doesn't sound funny is correct. Do not overthink it. Don't try to come up with a logical explanation, because every language has its own quirks and peculiarities. So go on saying whatever you're comfortable with. Don't worry about people who say other things and then get into arguments about which is correct.
But then we wouldn't have a reason to have the show, John.
Say again?
We wouldn't have a reason to have the show then.
Well, yes, you would, because I would call in and tell people not to worry about
All right.
this.
Well, hey, thank you so much.
You bet. Have a good day.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. Let's see. Up next, let's talk to Nancy in Dallas. Hello, Nancy.
Oh, how exciting. I finally got on.
You're on.
I just want to know what the Electoral College is, what it is, and why we have it.
You know what? My pocket constitution, which I had in here for a few weeks after the election, because we had some of these questions,
yeah.
it's in my desk drawer. But it is the name for the group of people who are chosen in their states to actually cast the actual ballots for the president and vice president. And it happens in December, a certain number of days after the election. And that's the way it was set up originally in the Constitution, or at least in the amendment that provided for the rules for the president and the presidential election. So it's a group, a college. It's not actually a college, but it's a group of people called a college who elect the president. And someone will remind us of the amendment and that while we're on the air here. So we'll get a little bit more definitive answer for you.
Yeah. So I don't really get to vote.
It's a representative system, and that's how the presidential elections work here. So when you see those electoral vote totals on election night,
that's what the
candidates are actually running for is a majority of the electoral votes. And we have most states are a winner-take-all system. There are a couple of states that divide up their electoral votes by the popular vote. But Texas is a winner-take-all system, and I think it's 38 electoral votes in Texas. And if you win the majority of the votes in Texas, you get all of the electoral votes. And so that's why there's been a lot of news. No, that's how it goes. But Nancy, we'll see if we get the more details on the amendment for you, and I'm sure we'll be talking about this maybe during this next administration, because it comes up every 4 years whenever there's an election. But thanks for calling.
Okay, right. Thank you.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Let's get one more phone call from Jim in Pilot Point. Hello, Jim.
Hey.
Hey there.
You doing all right?
Doing well.
Good. Hey, I got a question and maybe a couple of answers. First of all, an answer on that, all those people calling in about bagels. We're in Texas. They're either deep fried or barbecued. That's the answer to that.
Very good, Jim. Okay.
Yeah, I got a question about those antennas that you get to if you're going to go if you're going to stream your television.
Mm-hmm.
Those antennas that you get to pick up local stations.
Okay,
I'm up close to Pilot Point, Aubrey area. Are they going to work up here, and are they going to work very well? But I guess my other question is, would that coat hanger antenna I made in 1958, would it work?
Well, it you know, TV is digital now, so
right.
So you'd need a converter. You'd need a convert if you have a traditional old analog style antenna. You have to have a converter in order for it for the signal for it to pick up the digital signal.
Oh, Jeff, the coat hanger antenna was a joke.
Right. Sure. Well.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
All right. Well, Jim, we'll see if we get an answer for you.
All right, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Thanks
Take
for
care
calling.
Yourself.
You too.
Bye-bye.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Rick tweeted and says, I got a print done on canvas from canvaspop.com, canvaspop.com. He says, it went great and it wasn't spendy. It's not forte piano. It's piano forte. Lots of tweets on this. Greg says, piano forte or a loud soft due to the touch action of the piano being able to adjust the volume by how hard you play. Vanessa says piano forte is where it comes from. Also, Adorama Pix, A-D-O-R-A-M-A, Adorama P-I-X, is a great site for large canvas prints, Vanessa says. Maggie says older keyboard instrument was the harpsichord, which only played at one volume because it was a plucking instrument. It plucked the strings. The pianoforte contrasted by playing loud or soft. And Vanessa says the original name pianoforte came from the fact that it was one of the first instruments that allowed you to modify the volume level by how hard you played. Allowed to modify the volume level by how hard you hit the keys or by using the dampers. Colloquially, it was shortened to piano. So thanks, everybody, for those great tweets and answers. Let's go back to the phones and talk 800-933-5372 to Martha in Edgewood. Hello, Martha.
Hello. I appreciate your program so much.
Oh,
and I wanted to just try to help with the question concerning the skunk odor. I was going to elaborate on pianoforte, but you got great information on that, so I won't do that one. But there is a recipe that you can get on the internet that was very effective with using our dogs who had a direct hit
mm-hmm.
by skunk, and it uses hydrogen peroxide dishwashing liquid. I don't know the exact proportions, and then it's very important that you put mineral oil in the dog's eyes, a couple of drops of that. And another key point we found out, the recipe says to make sure that the preparation is quite warm as you apply it to the dog. But that was very effective with our dogs. And I'm sorry, I don't have the exact recipe. But as I said, if you Google skunk odor remedy or bathing dog for skunks, my husband was the one that did that.
All
it
right.
was the recipe there and very effective.
Great. Martha, thanks so much for calling.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay. Let's see. In the inbox, we got, speaking of dogs, Joe wants to know if there's any truth to the belief, is what Joe writes, that dogs are unable to move their eyes up when looking up without moving their heads up. Is there any truth to the fact that dogs can't move their eyes up without raising their heads? Okay. Les is looking for a store in the DFW area that sells high-quality Belgian chocolate. Anybody know a place where Les can find high-quality Belgian chocolate? Gabriella says, on the peel skin question, a peel is a coating that typically isn't consumed or eaten. For example, typically isn't consumed or eaten, like an orange peel, a grapefruit peel, a mango peel, passion fruit, banana peel. It's also the act of removing the outer cover of the fruit or vegetable. So you peel a peel, just like when you rake with a rake? But you peel a peel. She says a skin, though, is one that can be consumed, like the potato, apple, peach, apricot, cucumber, tomato. The consumption of these is a matter of taste, although they do have, she adds, nutritional value. She says, I eat the skins of fruits and veggies and sometimes even peels. For example, bite into the lemon peel in your water after a meal when a toothbrush isn't around and your mouth will be refreshed. Thanks, Gabrielle. Let's see. Elaine and Keller says on the skunk question, my sister in Utah discovered that Tide with enzymes, the laundry detergent, works to remove skunk smell. And on the concession recoup fee, this is from someone. Says the concession recovery fee is essentially the rental car company charging you to recoup the amount the airport charges to it to offer services there. The caller should contact his rental car company to question the calculation. If it does not match any amount on the receipt, they should be able to clear up any confusion. So essentially, they're passing along, and they say it right there, they're passing along the fee they pay to have a rental car concession. So it's the concession recoup fee. 800-933-5372. Let's see, we got time for maybe one quick call before the break. Let's talk to Amir in Wichita Falls. Hello, Amir.
Yeah, how you doing?
Doing well.
Answer to the questions of where can he sell the silver coins.
Yeah.
Is that anywhere he goes, because he doesn't know anything about it, so they're going to take advantage of it. The best thing is that, because silver is like a stamp, mm-hmm. you know, it depends on the condition, it depends on the date, and it depends on if, where it's made, you know. It's a, if you see as a Carson City, so it's a lot more expensive that if
right.
they have initial as S for San Francisco. And the best thing is that you go online, there are a few sites, and compare the coins that you have with those grading that they have there. And that way you have a bulk idea that how much your coins worth. And once you go anywhere, and the best thing is that you just go a couple of places, shop around, mm-hmm. and get the best prices.
Great. Amir, thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
It's anything you ever wanted to know. Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington. We'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Funding for anything you ever wanted to know comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education. Fall registration is now open with courses in art, architecture, history, and languages, as well as professional certificates and test preparation. Registration at smu.edu/CAPE.
It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, Texas. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. Email address, anything at kera.org, or you can tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. It's what Maggie did and said, the peroxide soda and dish soap mix is an urban legend. Only spreads the skunk protein around on the dog. Although our caller said it worked for her. Let's see, Michael says, Alton Brown's recipe for, I'm assuming this is bagels, had baking soda added to the boiling water to make it alkaline, which changes the chemistry. Someone's looking for a chip. Max 7219, is there anywhere in DFW I can buy them cheap? Tanner Electronics, he says, is currently sold out. I'm retweeting these, by the way. Kevin says, go to antennaweb.org to find antennas. He says, I used to live in Denton and had to get a medium directional antenna. Steven says, it seems dogs not able to move their heads, their eyes up, independent of head, would be evolutionarily selected out. He says, predators see head movement, right? He said this is his opinion. Marie says that there's a great Electoral College tutorial that was done by Sal at Khan Academy and Grover. Find it at khanacademy.org, and there's a link here. So I'll retweet that out if anybody wants to study up on the Electoral College, because the same questions come up every 4 years, and we talk about it a lot in our coverage and try to make it as clear as possible how the election works. But every 4 years it comes up, and then it sort of seems to fade away. And, you know, there's oh, yeah, we do it this way every 4 years. It's kind of like, you know, although we have the Olympics every 2 years now, right, because Summer and Winter Olympics are split up. Remember when they used to be – they both used to be the same year every 4 years? At least one person in the control room is saying no, I don't remember that. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Mark in Cedar Hill. Hello, Mark.
Hello. Hey there. How are you?
Doing well.
Good, good. I have a, I guess, a traffic question.
So okay.
Be somebody who with a history of law enforcement can help
a
me out.
Traffic question.
I'm actually from up north.
Okay.
And the question is that when you're at a stoplight,
mm-hmm.
you want to turn left and you have to wait for oncoming traffic to pass.
Mm-hmm.
From up north, we always creep up into the middle of the intersection,
mm-hmm.
wait for the traffic to pass, and then make our turn. But I noticed down here that it happens about 50% will creep up in the intersection. But also people will just stop at the light and then wait for traffic to pass and end up, you know, turn left after that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering, what's the legal way to do it?
All right, well, we'll see if we get an answer for you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling. Up next, 800-933-5372 is Conrad in Oak Point. Hey, Conrad.
Hi there. I've just got a quick answer for you on the TV antenna.
Yeah.
I've used a website before called TVFool.com, and if you go on there, you put in your address, and it will show you where you are from all the various broadcasting towers, show you the distance and your signal strength. And then if you want to put an HD antenna in your attic, which I've done before, it even gives you the optimal compass heading in which to point your antenna so that you can get a good signal.
TVFool, FOOL.com.
Correct.
Very good. Hey, Conrad, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. And yes, Michael reminds me that the Electoral College is detailed in Article 2 of the Constitution. That's right, not any of the amendments. He says, I had my students read it for fun. I read most of that section on the show right around Election Day. It was either the Friday before or the Friday after, or maybe it was both Fridays. But again, alas, my pocket Constitution is in my desk, and I should probably just keep it in here in the studio. But yes, Michael, thanks for reminding me that it is Article 2 of the Constitution, because it also details the qualifications or the requirements that a person must meet in order to be president and all the rules and all that stuff. So thanks for that. Chris emailed us anything at kera.org that Victory Flows as an organization that provides programs for families living with disabilities. They will take used trophies and repurpose them to give to kids with disabilities as prizes for their talent show. They're at victoryflows.org. Chris, thanks for that very much. Let's see. Russ wants to know, on Park Lane in Dallas, between Shady Brook Lane and Ridgecrest Road, in an otherwise vacant lot, there are two white structures or buildings that are smaller than a house but larger than a doghouse. Does anyone know what these are? He says, I drive by them often and wonder. Let's see, one more on the skunk smell from Johnny in Bedford. He says, I've used a mixture of Dawn liquid soap and baking soda made into a paste. He says, my dogs were sprayed directly by a skunk. I mixed the two items into a paste and proceeded to wash them normally. After washing them twice, just to make sure the smell was gone 100%. He says, I even let my dogs back into the house after the drying. And on the metric system, Harold and McKinney says, every time there is a move by the government to switch us to metric, there is a lot of pressure against it. We consumers resist change. It will cost money for manufacturers to retool, and all the food labels would have to be redone. So those are Harold's answers as to why we haven't switched to metric. And one more on this from Steph, who says, for the Belgian chocolate, Steph recommends Sablon Chocolate Lounge on McKinney Avenue. Steph says, great Belgian chocolate as well as an impressive place for a date. It's Sablon, Sablon Chocolate Lounge on McKinney Avenue. Thanks, Steph. 800-933-5372. Let's get one more on this from Sally in Gainesville. Hello, Sally.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey there.
Happy New Year.
Same
and
to you.
Happy snow.
Oh, yeah. Are you guys getting snow?
A little bit, okay. Yeah. Not enough to worry about.
Okay.
On the dog issue, I rehab mainly mutts, so they don't have a lot of sensitivity issues. So before I bring them in, I will spray them with Febreze. So it's not a soaking
mm-hmm.
spray.
Just give them a little spritz.
It's enough, yeah. It's enough to cut the odor so you can stand to get them in the tub and do the enzyme or whatever.
Oh, this is when they've been sprayed by a skunk, not just
yes.
as a general rule. This is just
no,
when you're about
no.
to do the skunk. Okay, good.
No, this is
just making sure.
I thought you established that, sir.
Well, I just said we'd take one more on this, but I was counting on you to tell us what we were talking about, Sally. We're talking about the skunk.
Yes, skunk issue, not
right.
the piano.
Okay, good.
Don't spray your piano
yeah,
with
don't,
Febreze.
Don't spray your piano.
But it doesn't, you know, you don't soak them with it. And if they have sensitivity issues, I wouldn't do it. You make sure you don't get it in their face. You just do it logically.
Okay.
People have to have more common sense these days.
Great. Well, hey, Sally, thanks so much for calling.
Uh-huh, dear. Bye.
Let's talk next at 800-933-5372 to Brandon in Mesquite. Hello, Brandon.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hey, I just had a question on how does a freelance journalist slash writer get started in Dallas, or what is the best website for journalists to get started in Dallas?
So you want to start working is what you want to do, obviously.
Correct. I work already, but I want to start working in another field.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll see if we get some recommendations for you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for calling. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington. That's what Barry did. Barry says there are two buildings on the south side of Chaparral Road in Plano, about 200 feet west of K Avenue. They're red brick buildings. Does anybody know what they are? Two buildings on the south side of Chaparral Road in Plano, about 200 feet west of K Avenue, red brick. Anybody know? Shoot me a tweet, at Jeff Whittington. Email us anything at kera.org or call us, 800-933-5372. Jeff says, I've made a hobby of helping people transition back to over-the-air broadcasts, and I always start by directing them to antennaweb.org. This is in response to our antenna question. It says you can enter your exact address and receive a detailed report of all the broadcasts in the air around you, their varying strengths, and the compass heading to their point of origin. Sounds like the other site that our listener called in about, too. He says this data will tell you how serious your antenna needs to be and where it needs to be aimed for the best reception. I got an email from Bonnie who says, I have an old Sony Walkman that includes radio and a cassette player, but the cassette will no longer work. Is there any place that might take a look at it with the hopes that it can be repaired? 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's go from the Sony Walkman cassette to Norman in Dallas with a question about an iPod. Hey, Norman.
How you doing?
Doing well.
Okay, I bought an iPod a long, long, long time ago, and I bought it refurbished, and it stopped working. I had over 5,000 phones and a bunch of important information on there. And I wanted to know if there was some type of data recovery. I took it to the Apple store, and of course, they didn't know what to do.
Right.
So that's my question.
Okay. We'll see if somebody has an answer for you. If not today, then maybe next week we'll have an answer for you.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling, Norman.
Right.
Let's talk next at 800-933-5372 to Gary in Plano. Hey, Gary.
Hi. Hey, I have an answer for you. That question about turning left at an intersection,
yeah.
I asked a couple of Dallas police officers at the last state fair about that. They were both there and explained to them that I also came from up north. And they said that they did pass a law that makes it a legal requirement that you wait and not go out into the intersection before you make your left turn. But I also explained to them about how, you know, up north we don't do it that way and it seems inconvenient. And all that, and they kind of indicated that they understand that. So I got the impression, they didn't say this, but I got the impression that they don't really enforce a whole lot of that.
So they told you that there's a law in Texas that you're supposed to stay behind the plane of the intersection.
Correct.
Until traffic is clear, and then turn left. You're not supposed to inch out into the end of the intersection so that you're still out there when the light turns yellow and red and you can go.
Yeah, they were very clear about that. Wow. They said they, in fact, did pass a law that makes it a legal requirement that you wait. That's why people are doing it.
Okay, well, thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
Let's talk next at 800-933-5372. If you want to put, let's talk to Lynn in Dallas. Hey, Lynn.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well.
I just have an answer about the intersection, turning left. You are not required to stay behind the stop line. You can pull up into the intersection and wait to turn left. And, you know, when it's clear, you can turn left. If you're in the intersection and the light turns red, you're still legally allowed to turn left as long as you're past the stop line.
Because you are, and you're someone who knows, right?
Yes, I'm a police officer.
Okay, you are. So we just had a call from a gentleman who said he talked to some police officers, and they said there was a law now that you can't inch out into the intersection waiting to turn left, but you're saying that's not the case.
Well, I do not know of that law, but I do not know of that law. I'm not saying that's not true. It's possible, but in years past, the law has been that you can enter the intersection and wait for the oncoming traffic to clear and then turn.
And since you're already out there, you got out there when the light was green. You're not running the light when it turns red. You just, if it's safe, you know, you need to go ahead and turn so that the other people can go.
Right.
Well, that's how I learned to do it too, Lynn. I don't think it was just a I'm from up north thing, but
No.
But thanks so much for calling.
No problem. Thank you. Bye.
800-933-5372. Time for. Oh, let's get one more on this. Ryan, I guess you're the tiebreaker, Ryan, on this question.
Yeah, and at least now I have just a little bit of extra information as far as the way I learned. Now, granted, this was 16 years ago whenever I learned to drive, but back then, like the officer said, I don't know of a new law, but you are legally allowed to go out into the intersection, and like they said, if it turns red, you can still turn, but only one person at a time.
Right.
So you can't start a line behind the person that's in the intersection. One car goes out into the intersection. If they get to turn before it turns red, you can then go out into the intersection.
And we talked about this.
One person at a time.
And we talked about this last week on the show, too. Don't turn your wheels until you start turning, because anytime you're turning left, if you're waiting to turn left and there's a chance someone could hit you from behind, you want to go straight. You don't want to go into the oncoming.
Yeah, that's going to push you into traffic. Yeah. a lot of people overlook that for sure.
All right. Well, Ryan, thanks for calling.
Yeah, absolutely.
I appreciate it. It's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know, produced by Stephen Becker, engineered by Shelley Canavy. Associate producer Samantha Guzman answered your phone calls today, and we'd love for you to check out our podcast. You can subscribe. Just go to the Anything page, KERA.org/anything. Click on that subscribe button there, and you will, fresh podcast episodes will be whisked to your queue, your listening queue, every single week. You can reach out to us. You know how to do it. Email us anything at KERA.org. You can connect with me on Twitter at Jeff Whittington. Whatever you do, though, please have a safe weekend. Stay warm. It's cold out there today. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you back here next week.